101, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show. The only place to go. Bruce and Shelley and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHA. Where any of them, they're A's.
A.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Yay! Shelley's choir thing was all effed up today.
Oh my gosh, church was a total train wreck today.
Like the pastor was on acid or something.
Something was wrong. He tried at one point. We were singing this hymn, and it's a bluegrass hymn.
A bluegrass hymn.
Oh, and it's such a great song. I totally love the song.
I think it was more like a smoke grass hymn. The way it made it
he
sound
was supposed
today,
to. Marilyn was playing the piano, and the pastor was going to come in with his guitar to make it a little twangier. He came in like two notes behind and in a different key. And the choir director, and we're all kind of going, what? And the choir director just kind of raises his hands and like goes, okay. And
so
then
piano
we just started singing.
Playing in one cadence, the guitar is playing in a different cadence.
It
you
was
guys
just
are coming
all
in at the wrong time.
It was just all messed up. And then
it was like a Whitney Houston concert.
It's a bluegrass deal?
Yeah, it's a bluegrass
deal. So like Jesus' wagon breaks down, he loses his tabernacle, and what?
And
I mean,
the dog bites
well, no,
him.
It's, the song is called Don't You Want to Go Home.
Don't you want to go
And Mary Magdalene leaves him? I don't know.
No.
How's that work?
Don't
a bluegrass, a country hymn.
Don't you want to go
That's not how it goes.
To the Lord. Oh.
I'm going to send you
to
the Lord in a minute if you don't knock that off.
You never know.
I don't know. There was just a whole bunch
one
of crap
these
that
days.
Happened today that got all messed
one
up.
One of these days, Alice.
Right to the moon.
And bang, zoom.
Hey, you've seen the thing around Shelley's neck. You've seen the brace. I don't want to have to tell her twice.
One of these days.
Sweet.
Not.
Dude, you know, Jackie Gleason. And you know most people that listen to this aren't even going to know who Jackie Gleason is.
I know. Isn't that sad?
Yeah, and they're missing out. Jackie Gleason and Art Carney.
Isn't it just pathetic how old we're getting?
Dude.
It is pathetic.
It was like the thing you said the other day. You know, you want to live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking
and
corpse.
And I've lived
too
long.
Lived too long to leave a good-looking corpse.
I did a post about my physical therapist on Facebook, and I said she looked exactly like a young version of the ancient Chinese secret lady. And then I thought about it.
The ancient Chinese secret lady.
And then I thought about it, and I said, and if you don't know, if you're too young to remember that commercial, I don't want to hear about it.
Okay, I don't even know what it is.
Oh, please, you have to remember the ancient Chinese secret. It was Calgon laundry soap, and the lady goes into the I don't know, laundry or whatever, and the Chinese guy is...
Oh, ancient Chinese secret.
Ancient Chinese secret.
She asks the guy, you know, how do you get your laundry so clean? And he says, ancient Chinese secret.
Oh,
and then she
Calgon
comes
the
out,
garden.
The wife... His Chinese wife comes out from the back and says, we need more Calgon. And then the customer says, ancient Chinese secret, eh?
Oh, you know what? That would be slapped down as a racist commercial.
Oh, line. Yeah. Now it would.
Yeah, well, you'd play it during intermission at Blazing Saddles.
Oh, dude.
That'll work.
You got to love Blazing Saddles. One of my favorite
Home the
movies
desert.
Of all time. You know what? Mel Brooks does two of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan
History
of
the World Part 1 or...
No, Spaceballs. I am your father's brother, sister's neighbor's best friend. What?
You got the hairy eyeball from me.
Well, wow. It's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. My dudes were off.
What the heck was that kind of a dude?
Wow.
That wasn't a dude, that was a dude.
Wow, that was quite the pedestrian dude.
You know what the problem was? I was singing earlier. That's what the problem was.
Yeah,
I was driving Shelly crazy.
Well, because you're trying to sing while we're having a conversation.
Warren and I were both singing to her.
Okay, we have shout-outs to Donald, Fran, Bill. I think that's it.
I got a shout-out to Bill right now. He sent us the Rat Pack triple CD set. and it's got everything by every Rat Pack guy on it. Dean, Frank, and
Sammy.
And Sammy singing really everything. There's 75 songs on that thing. Thank you, Bill.
Not 11-y-5?
Yeah, it's 11-y-5 songs.
Okay. Dalhousie University.
What?
Dalhousie University. I think this is in the UK. Researchers from that university found that. This is a new study on this. I don't know why they have to keep doing studies on this, and there was funding available for this. They have found that individuals are almost 2 times more likely to cause a vehicle collision if they consume cannabis within 3 hours of driving than individuals not under the influence of alcohol or drugs.
I got the next study to go out to piggyback that.
Wow.
That people are more likely to cause an accident if they're driving than if they're not.
Yeah.
6.2 million.
Well, you know what?
I need a grant writer.
Didn't we? Now, I could be wrong, and I know this is a horrible thing to say on a recovery show.
But didn't we
actually show a study where cannabis smokers were less likely to get in a collision than even non-cannabis smokers?
What's amazing to me is that you started that by saying you could be wrong.
You could be. Are you okay? Wrong, but... Well, I was expecting you guys to come in and say, yes, we did a story on that.
I vaguely remember something about that, but I don't. We've been married 10 years. We've been together 12 years. I don't remember
uttering the words.
No, I've never heard you utter the words "I could be wrong" ever.
Oh, you've heard it on this show many times.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers 3.
You know what I think it is?
What do you think?
She's just never found me to be wrong yet.
No, there was that one day. Remember, I said I was going to write it down on the calendar that when it turned out I was right and you were wrong.
I thought I was wrong once.
Yeah, but you're mistaken.
I was mistaken.
Okay, let's move on to sex.
Sweet.
Marty, ready to leave?
Yeah. See you guys later.
All right, see you guys.
Actually, I'm talking about gender.
Oh.
Can you hang on to the monitor over there?
Oh. Gender sex?
No, just gender. A brain imaging study by Yale suggests that when it comes to cocaine-dependent people, women are drug-dependent differently than men. Women tend to use under stress... with stress cues, and while men use something called drug cues. In other words, women seem to need a reason to use in their minds. They justify it that way. Men just use.
Okay.
Women always seem to need a reason for everything. Men need a reason for nothing.
Dude, last night.
Yeah.
I heard the same speaker. I heard a speaker say. It had to do with being a hoe for $1.75. I was like, wow, that is really underselling yourself. I'm not gonna say, you know, anything about who it was, because I heard someone at a place at a meeting once at a place off of Holt Street in Pomona where they were talking about they were tired of sucking dick for a nickel. And I was like, a nickel? I'm like, I never met girls like that. And then last night I heard someone say $1.75. And I'm like, are you kidding? Wow. She needed a reason. She needed $1.75. I mean, what are you going to do? I guess she's going to buy a short dog or something. I don't know. I don't know what she's going to
do. She already had a short dog.
I don't know what she's going to do with $1.75.
Okay, there's a new company called Pong Beer USA.
Pong?
Pong Beer USA.
They're not that new.
Oh, well, according to the story there. They're calling themselves beer fanatics committed to providing the highest quality, most flavorful premium product at a reasonable price.
Oh. Specifically for playing beer pong?
Well, that's what they claim, although it doesn't say in the story why it's better for playing beer pong. But they do sell, when they sell their 30 packs, it comes with ping pong balls.
Ping pong?
Ping pong balls.
Ping pong balls?
Ping
whatever.
Ping pong balls.
big pong balls.
One hung low?
Yes. Whatever. And if you buy two 30 packs,
you get two balls.
You get a reload, which comes with 16-ounce party cups and 4 ping pong balls.
Dude, so it's a game of pong in a package.
Basically.
That's going to sell.
It's a beer pong kit.
Dude, that is going to sell.
But they're calling it
campuses.
Pong beer.
Hell yeah.
Why not?
Okay, now
when's the crack kit come out? That's what I want to know.
You have to go to Canada for that, remember? Okay, now we're moving on to the actual sex.
Okay.
Well, sorry for the foreplay.
A small Ohio airline is... You basically, for $425,
you get the Mile High
60
Club.
Minutes in a small a private plane with champagne, chocolate, and a very discreet pilot.
That's old, too.
Yes, it's an you get an hour. The pilot is quoted as saying, one of the pilots is quoted as saying, "I had a high heel in my ear once. I've been shot in the back of the head with a champagne cork, and thank God we wear headsets." It's called Flamingo Air.
They've been doing it for a long time, right?
And they're based in Cincinnati.
They've been doing it for a long time.
It doesn't say.
They look like Piper Cub airplanes where the back behind where the pilot is basically like a big bed back there. It's like maybe a 4 or 6 seater plane where the back side of it's all a bed.
We are here to bang.
We are here to bang.
Here's a sad story.
That's a great story, too. Let's hear the sad story, though.
In Northeast Montana, a very popular high school teacher vanished during a pre-dawn jog. They found her tennis shoe. A while later...
Was there mountain lion, scratching on the shoe?
No. A few weeks later, Michael Keith Spell has been charged with kidnapping her. Along with her name's Sherry Arnold.
They found her tennis shoe in a steaming pile of bear dung.
Michael Keith Spell and Lester Waters were high on crack cocaine and decided that it would be a good idea to kidnap a woman, rape her, and kill her. And they're blaming basically the crack on it, that they were out of their minds.
You know what? You could claim that, but... I have a problem with that as a defense, being a dope smoking, crackhead meth, Generally speaking, when I would smoke crack, my chances of going out in public or outside to do anything are not that great. Especially go out and do something illegal and grab some. It's like there were times I could not leave the bathroom I was in. I'm really going to go out and go out on the hiking trail and see if I could find someone to kill.
It's bad upbringing.
I don't think that's going to fly. I don't think that defense is going to work.
Come fly with me. Please, Shelley, continue.
A California mom, Tracy Lynn Betts, was arrested after neighbors spotted her 12-year-old daughter wandering the streets naked and scrounging in the trash for food.
Wow, she's going to be in trouble.
She worked... Yeah. Betts works as a teacher's aide at an elementary school in Temecula. She left her daughter in the car with the tinted windows about a block from the school, removed her clothing and her shoes so she wouldn't leave the car, and told her to stay there.
So the girl wasn't listening.
So the girl got a blanket out of the back of the car because she was hungry, so she started digging through the trash. And apparently this is not something... This has happened before.
This is not something normal.
She should be grounded for not listening.
Apparently she's in protective custody.
She should be grounded. If I tell my kids to do something they don't do it, I'd be pissed.
Stay in a car.
I think removing your child's clothing so that they will stay in the car all day while you're at work is a little bit extreme. Especially a 12-year-old who should be in school.
You know what that tells me? Why isn't the 12-year-old in school?
You know what that tells me? She's done this before.
Yeah. Why isn't the 12-year-old in school?
She's a repeat offender. Yeah, she's
homeschooled. Hey, sit in here in the van all day and do your homework. No, okay. You can't pee. There's a jug over there.
Okay, traces of cocaine were found...
On the 12-year-old?
No, on the hair of
the... Oh, this is a news story.
News story, sorry.
Okay. Oh, wow. I'm like, really?
Traces of cocaine were found on the hair of the cruise ship captain of the Costa Concordia, the one that went down. However...
And the girl he was with wasn't even a passenger, supposedly.
However, they're not exactly sure what that means because his urine tested clean. However, there are other people who saw him getting drunk several hours before the crash, and they did not test him for alcohol. So,
well, my understanding is...
Oh, and there was also a witness that said that he took tranquilizers.
Well, there was also a witness that said that he did his best to help this and help that, and then when they talked to her, she wasn't even on the manifest. She wasn't even supposed to be on the ship.
guy sent me a picture last night of the latest in cruise wear for Italian cruises.
Is it a life jacket?
No, it was a set of 5-inch stiletto heels with swim fins on the front of them.
Nice.
Okay, let's see. Oh.
What?
President Obama, it says he may have inadvertently won a skirmish in the war on drugs.
Inadvertently?
Inadvertently. Last Thursday, a small plane encroached on the airspace where Air Force One was, and this you are not allowed to do that. So the Air Force forced the plane to land, searched the plane, and found 22 pounds of marijuana on board.
Why don't they just shoot it down?
Well, they try to avoid doing that. If the plane is cooperating and is going down where they tell them to and doing what they tell them to, they're not going to shoot it down.
Just shoot them down.
But so it did. They landed in Riverside and
was he out here?
Air Force Base.
If you had 10 kilos of pot in your plane, wouldn't you be more careful where you flew?
Yeah. Hey, wait, what's that big jet up there? That one with the F-16s around it.
The funny thing is, it's like a 30-mile
Hey, see if you can fly closer to it.
Right.
In Russia, the government is putting out its own branded vodka. It's called Kremlin Award Premium Vodka. We will never see it in the U.S. because you have to be a member of the KGB or in the government to get it. However,
that's a dead giveaway in a bar, KGB agent. Let me have some of that Kremlin special over there.
However, there's
CIA, shoot that guy.
There's a little kink in their distribution system because you can apparently get it for $27 a half liter online. And I'm not going to tell you where.
What a great marketing tool.
Yeah, only the KGB can get it.
What a great marketing tool.
Everyone's going to be ordering it.
Yeah.
Let me get a half liter of that KGB stuff.
True.
All right. Yeah.
I almost want some.
Okay.
Not to drink it, but
just
to
have
it.
Yeah.
I just have to do this.
To help through fresh recruits, like Bill W. says. Yeah. Sometimes we keep booze in our house.
Okay, I just have to do this one story just because it's not that great of a story, but.
Well, thanks for the warning.
Well, then let's do it.
I just love the name of the place. In Bangkok.
Marty, you like working on wardrobe changes
or something?
Well,
Bangkok is always a good
name. Actually, the story came out of Bangkok, but it actually took place in another city nearby. Three Iranian men were detained for plotting a bomb attack against some Israeli diplomats. That were in Thailand. Police discovered that they were going to blow these. They had explosives. They were planning on setting off an explosive to kill these Israeli diplomats. They were identified by two prostitutes who had pictures
well,
of
at least
these
they have some credible witnesses.
Two prostitutes who had pictures of these Muslim men drinking beer, which they're not supposed to do, and getting jiggy with the prostitutes. But that's not the great part of the story. The part of the story is that this little party that they had took place in the city of Fuck It.
Phuket?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just
one
like
night
that.
In Bangkok.
And the world's your oyster.
Yes. And that's the end of the boozy news.
Bangkok.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
It's actually Phuket.
Phuket.
Okay, well, whatever.
Phuket.
But it sounds better the other way. The story sounded better the other way.
Phuket. I love the fact that it was, you know, Iranians after Israelis in Thailand. Perfect. We're just hearkening back to the boozy news because it was a story that was so good it couldn't stop there. So, Shelley?
Yes.
Bruce?
Yes.
Did you have a topic? You said you did.
You had a whole raft of topics.
Yeah, but you had one.
Did we pick one?
But you had one.
You had one.
Yeah, but we don't have to do mine.
But we want to do yours.
Well, we're asking you for yours right now.
Brother. Well, my topic was, except when to do so would injure them or others.
Okay. Like how? How do you want to attack it?
Give us the plan.
People that, I mean, when we make our amends, you know, it says in the big book that we don't have the right to get relief ourselves at the expense of others.
To relieve ourselves?
Well, you know what I mean.
All the hookers are out of work now.
Why do I try? Why do I bother with the two of you?
What I do?
Yeah, Mark didn't even say anything. Look at that. You're just guilty by association.
I made a urine joke.
Yeah, that's bad enough. And then he goes there.
Compared to where he went?
You pee and then he goes there.
You're the one that said, fuck it.
That's a little disgusting, actually.
You're the one that, you're the one that called the city that's Phuket, fuck it.
I threw up a little in my mouth just now.
At any rate, you're making your amends. What can you say? What can't you say? What should you say? What shouldn't you say? Because...
Sir, I'm sorry I did your wife is not acceptable.
Yeah, no, that's really not. I mean, talking about, you know, the clause, except when to do so would injure them or others. At what point, I mean, when you start making your amends, you know, how do you determine what is stuff that you should be making amends for and stuff that you should be leaving out?
I'm powerless and I'm going to carry the message.
The big book talks about it. At least the AA book talks about it. Yeah, it says, like, for instance, if someone has been... I love the way they put it in the big book, too. It says, you know, if the man has been wild, you know, he may want to admit his fault, you know, but he has no right, you know, he shouldn't say who the woman is because he has no right to involve another person. And I'm thinking, he already involved the other person by banging her. but the thing is that you don't want to give a name for the wife to vent their jealousy upon. That's what the big book says. So that you should admit your wrong, but not necessarily involve all the rest of the details of what it was.
Even I've always thought that's a little cracked. If you're going to admit to your wife that you were having an affair that she didn't previously know about, of course she's going to want to know who the other woman was.
Of course, the big book also
calls that... So you're making
it
worse for her.
The big book also calls that leading with the chin. Which is one of those program things because it says... If your wife does not know, should you tell her? And then the next line is, not always, we think. And I'm like, wow, how's that for a just... The big book is full of justifications like that. Does the NA basic text have any like that? I think not. Shelley, in certain readings in AA, they'll be reading some and Shelley will go, loophole!
Yes, the progress, not perfection. That's the loophole.
Yeah. What do you think, Mark?
Progress, not perfection, is the loophole?
Yeah. Because if you're ever not really doing well with something, you can always say, well, it's progress, not perfection. That gets you out of having to actually man up and do it.
If not for progress, if not for progress rather than perfection, we'd all go get loaded.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm saying.
You'll never get perfection. That's the loophole.
That's the way it is.
I'm not sure we're in disagreement.
Keep coming back, Shelley.
And actually, to be honest with you, I was asking what your opinion of the topic was.
Oh, the topic. Well, you know, I think we've gotten really good at creating living amends and universal amends to kind of avoid burning up somebody else's side of the street.
Yeah, you have no right to sweep your side of the street while burning theirs down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've shared before. I had a bad but perfectly understandable habit of ending up in bed with married women when I was getting loaded. How do I make amends for that?
To the women.
How to just make amends in general? How about to the men? How about to the guys they were married to?
Because they don't know.
I don't make amends to the women. They enjoyed it. But...
And Shrugensee?
I almost got Shelly to turn her head on that one.
Yeah, even all her, the way even around her neck brace. She looked like Linda Blair for a minute from The Exorcist.
Now I have a kink in my back.
No, but you know, I mean, my sponsor and I worked on it, and one of the things that we thought would be a really good idea is you can make a living amend by not cheating ever again. You know,
so you don't think you ever owed an amends to any of the women you banged?
For what?
For banging them out of wedlock. You didn't like help any of that along. They just always attacked you. I mean, you had no
dude
coercion involved. Like you didn't offer them cocaine or anything.
Oh, that.
I mean, I'm not saying you did. I'm just saying you might have been partying a little. Well, and
I had it there.
You might have. I know you would have never thought of using
cocaine
in that way, but I would always use it in that way. I mean, well, given the opportunity.
Some are sicker than others.
Yeah, well.
No, but, you know, I mean, making amends, I think it's the ninth step is one of the absolute, the fifth and the ninth are absolutely the most important places in your entire program to make sure and have a sponsor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people like, you know, Shelley's example of somebody who came in and went and made amends. You know, we come in the program, we get 3 days sober, and we want to do everything.
Yes, we hear that a lot.
And it's like, the great line that we all hear in the program and we don't listen to it enough. Easy does it.
I had a sponsee tell me, I made an amends the other day. I'm like, dude, you're like on step two. Why are you making amends? Well, it just seemed like a good time. No.
How'd that work out for you?
No. Well, actually, for him, it worked out well. But yeah. Fortunately for him, it was a family member who was you know, happy to hear it and happy to hear him in program. But, you know, I made an amends one time where I was 100% sure I was going to jail. I mean, I was sure I was. I went to a place. Well, I didn't go to the actual place that I stole from because the place didn't exist anymore, but it was bought by another company. And I went to this place to admit to them that I stole all this stuff. And I talked to the store manager, and the guy says, He goes, I'm absolutely amazed. And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, I can't believe you're here admitting you stole all this stuff. He goes, now, I got to tell you, we're not that company. He goes, I've heard of this before, and I've never seen it happen. He goes, I have a brother that's in recovery, and he's talked about people that will go and be completely honest about stuff. And he goes, I'm floored that you're here. He goes, you could go do a lot of time behind that. And I'm like, I know, and I guess I'm willing to do it if I have to. And the guy's like, well, I think you're on the right path. You know, I say your amends are made, and you just go on with your way and do the right thing. And I was like, I walked out of there going, yes, yes.
It worked. God, yes. You were right.
Oh, my God. I went and called my sponsor. My sponsor goes, wow, they didn't arrest you. I'm like, yeah. No, they didn't. He goes, yeah. I wasn't sure. Yeah, you might not have been calling me. You might have been away. How about you, Shelly? You've stolen lots of crap. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was not my gig.
You stole a guy's virginity once.
Okay, anyway.
Did you make amends to him?
He gave it willingly.
Are you my sponsor?
I no, that's she why I'm asking the question, because your sponsor already knows.
She didn't steal it. He donated it willingly.
Actually, I did make one amends out of order. And I was allowed to. Because it was kind of an expedience thing. And I talked to my sponsor before.
Expedience?
Yeah, expedient. I apologized to the kids. Remember, I pulled Courtney on the court on the porch, and I talked to her, and then I talked to Connor, because at that point, smoothing things over a little bit with the family, like showing the kids that I was on a different track, was more important, Becky thought, than getting it exactly right at that time. But then I had to go back, and then after I had done my fifth, then I had to do Living Amends stuff. For a while, I had to like take Courtney places whenever she wanted to go, and you remember that? Which was not always convenient.
Well, no.
But
it beat the way you were a bitch before.
Yeah. Well, the only problem with that was then, you know, so I admit to Courtney what I'd done, what my problem was. I was apologizing. And then it was like 2 or 3 years after that, that if I ever said, no, I can't take you somewhere, she looked at me cross-eyed like,
you've been drinking?
Yeah, like I'd been drinking. Like she was afraid that something had happened.
Yeah, that never goes away.
Well, it's pretty much gone away now. Now she just wants my keys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, watch out on the road.
Yeah, she's out there. She's loose.
So how about this? We'll start with Mark. What's your feelings on the Living Amends thing? You mentioned that earlier, and that's quite common for a lot of things now.
Well, I think there's so many things that you just – Living Amends are part of just changing the way you live your life.
Yes.
You know,
but isn't that kind of, you know, isn't that sort of a cop-out on the amends? It's like, okay, so I just, because, yes, in being sober, you have to change the way you live your life or you won't stay sober. And now that's like a blanket amends for all these other things. It's like, okay, I'm doing what everyone has to do to stay sober, and that makes up for a bunch of amends we should be doing?
Progress and not perfection.
Yeah. Loophole.
I do have to say that in the big book, when it talks about making amends, there's a part in there that just drives me nuts every time I read it, every single time. And it's the part where they're talking about you're making the amends, and 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens.
Yeah, if it happens 9 times out of 10.
It's a freaking expected.
It's expected.
That's like 4 out of 5 dentists. What, the fifth dentist really thinks that you should have cavities? I mean,
yeah.
This does not make sense. Or 4 out of 5 people suffer from diarrhea. What, the fifth one enjoys it?
70% of the time?
That works
every time.
Yes. That doesn't even make any sense.
That drives me nuts.
Well, I mean, the one that you hear that I hear Living Amends mostly for are things with the family. You know, the way you build up trust and things is not so much that you're not making amends to them, like telling them they're sorry, but showing them on the other side how that amends works. Because, yeah, you have to admit your fault, and you have to admit it to them. And then the other portion of the amends is the Living Amends part. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you've burned your family for time or this or that, and you haven't actually stolen for them, or there's nothing monetarily to give back, then what is your give back to them? Your give back to them is being involved in the family and being part of the family and doing the things you should have been doing all along.
Well, yeah, that's always a good idea. You mean like act normal?
Yeah, like be a regular human being.
Hey, basic human skills.
Oh my God, you can learn that at the convention, I heard.
That's right.
Basic human interaction skills.
That's right, basic human behavior. Right. Hey, well, I got a question then. If you owe an amends to somebody and they die, can you just pray to God and ask God to tell them to understand?
Had it. I had that. I was instructed to write a letter to my grandmother and take it to her grave site and read it at her grave. And that was going to be my amends to her. Mm-hmm. Because obviously I couldn't make it to that person. And yet I had things that I had done that I would have wanted to make up. And my sponsor said, I want you to write it out just like you were going to talk to her in person. And I want you to write out everything you want to say about the amends and how sorry you are and how you felt about it and what you will try to do different in the future. I want you to read it at her grave. Then you bring it back here. We're going to light it on fire. And
if you owe money and they die, just write a check and throw it in the casket.
Yeah. I can send a check.
Yeah.
It's in the mail.
Yeah. Oh, you want money?
Yeah. So, Shelley, what are your final words on the topic?
I don't know. I think in general that the best way to approach it is to wait till you get there. I mean, unless there's some pressing reason why you have to apologize for something, wait until you get there for your ninth step. And even later on, when you're doing 10th steps, you've done something wrong, something happens, call your sponsor first. Tell them what's happened, because you know you might end up making it worse if you don't run it. But, and it's not like, you know, sponsors have all the answers or do everything right or like have some, you know, magic wand that makes it all better or anything. But just running it past another human being puts things in a different perspective, and you're able to, you know, do things appropriately and not end up making a situation worse.
Mark.
Right.
Not final words.
You know, it's not that my sponsor knew it better or knew it all. My sponsor just had more experience with it than I did. And so it's just a good idea to just run these things past people, because you don't, it doesn't help you, it doesn't help your program, it doesn't help anybody for you to go and hurt other people by trying to make yourself better. All that will do will get you loaded eventually.
My final words would be, you know, clean up your side of the street without burning down their side of the street.
It's like deja vu all over again.
It is. It's just like it. Shelley. She just looks at me. Who are our friends back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white man.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication by going online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post.
Sweet.
And you can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little burg. The information for contacting him is in a little box in the each edition. You just have to go and look in there, and you can find out how to contact him.
How else could they find the 12-Step Gazette?
They could go to recovery101.net and scroll down to the banner and click on it and get there that way.
That's awesome. What if someone went to recovery101.net, Mark, and they listened to our show and they wanted to like it and they clicked it and something?
Then they will amaze the hell out of us.
Yeah.
You went to the you went and clicked it to listen to this show.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We're getting more of them.
You don't have anything better to do on a Saturday night?
People are joining
Podomatic. Wow. You know what?
And commenting and stuff.
TV has never gotten
that
bad
for me.
Shout out
to Ian.
Shout out. Why are we shouting out to Ian?
Because Ian just joined up and said he digs the show. He just joined Podomatic because we asked him to.
Yep. Join up. Click on like. Like the show so we can keep track of you. Not you personally, you generically.
Yes.
So we know that there's people out there. And Podomatic knows that there's people out there who really think that we're worth listening to.
You can also add, I forget to mention this every time, too, down at the bottom, if you comment on a show, you can also add it to a playlist. And for some reason, adding it to a playlist helps as well. It's kind of funny because if you're a music show, I could see you adding shows to a playlist. For a talk show, I'm not sure why you would actually do that, because kind of once you've heard the talk show, you've kind of heard it. But, you know,
how many Johnny Carson reruns have you watched?
I would watch the best of Johnny Carson if I could get it.
Yeah, I'd watch the best of.
How many times?
I would watch it
over and over and
times.
How many Dean Martin roasts have you watched?
Look, hey, it's not like I ever watched reruns of Hogan's Heroes or anything.
Gilligan's Island? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you know, Gilligan's Island, a box of Hostess cupcakes and a glass of milk.
I'd rather watch Bewitched.
It was just the end of a perfect joint.
For a while, Shelley was watching episode after episode after episode of Bewitched online. Like she just went Bewitched crazy.
I suddenly realized that I could watch all the episodes I loved all over again.
Oh, by the way, we've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff or get advertising at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelley, who's the lead out music? Bye.
Sean Van Dammelen.
Which one?
I don't know.
I'm not familiar with that song, but apparently we're going to be listening to I Don't Know by Sean Van Dammelen.
I don't know, but I've been told.
I don't know, but I've been told.
I don't know, but I've been told.
Skinny little woman ain't got no soul.
Navy wings are made of gold.
I was going to channel Robert Plant, although he's not dead, so I guess I can't channel him. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.